far-right parties are gaining power in Sweden, Denmark, Austria, the Netherlands, and England. We've seen the formation of the English Defense League. And the uniting factor amongst all these parties, for the most part, is xenophobia, specifically anti-Muslim sentiment. Another disturbing development was a poll that came out last week in which 13% of Germans said that they would welcome the arrival of a new Führer, the term for leader which is explicitly associated with Adolf Hitler. Now, we've seen these far-right sentiments before, especially in troubling economic times. But if you look back to the 20s and the 30s, well, that's exactly what allowed Hitler to gain power, for fascism to sweep a number of countries. So how far could it go this time? And is the Tea Party the American example of Europe's right-wing blocs? Well, here to discuss it with me is Michael Moynihan, senior editor of Reason Magazine and Reason.com. Michael, nice to have you back on the show. It's been a while. You've spent a lot of time in Europe. You've lived in Europe.
I have.
Tell me this. I mean, is this something that is associated only with those really on the fringes, and now it's just somehow creeping towards the center, or has this just been a repressed feeling that's always there?
It's a confusing answer, but it's a little of both, actually. There is a fringe element. English Defense League, as you mentioned in the intro, is a fringe element. You see a lot of guys with shaved heads and the hoodies on, a very kind of violent group. They've had punch-ups and the rest of it. But you also have a lot of people that are, you mentioned in Sweden, there is a 8% of the 6% or 7% of the voters voted for Sweden, the Sweden Democrats, a very far-right party that has roots in the old Nazi movement. But, there's getting a lot of defection from left-wing parties, actually, from people that were, social democrats, labor-type people going to the English Defense League, British National Party, and in Sweden, Sweden Democrats. The reason being, and this is what actually separates it, quite this big separation between these parties and the Tea Parties, is that they're actually welfare state parties. They're pretty left-wing and when it comes to economic ideology, but they think that their welfare state is being strained by immigration. Now, the other thing that one has to actually, why this is happening right now is there an uptick in sort of immigrant violence or things? Yes, but primarily it is a backlash against not being able to talk about these issues. Sweden, again, a country that I lived in, an example that no one would touch this issue. It's a radioactive issue. Nobody is going to touch immigration, and if they do, they know that they're going to have to fend off charges of racism. So what ends up happening is they cede this ground to extremist parties, and extremist parties get small kind of baby steps, and they go from half a percent to actually being represented in parliament. And in Sweden, they've past the 5% threshold, and they're now actually in parliament.
Well, yeah, they're slowly inching their way in, but it's one thing to say that, a lot of this is of an anti-immigrant feeling because they're sapping up the welfare state, but a lot of it is directly addressed towards the Muslim population.
There are a lot
of people,
Muslim.
Specifically
yes.
Muslim populations.
Yes.
So
yes.
Why is that?
Yeah.
I mean, is that an anti-terror development because of this war on terror? I mean, let's say 9/11 never happened. Would the Muslim population still be the victim here?
Well, I mean, look, this is something that happened in England in the 90s, too, before 9/11. It's mostly focused on Muslims because Muslims are mostly the immigrants. In Northern Europe, you had the immigration flows in Northern Europe were from Finland to Norway and Norway to Sweden and Swedes going down to Denmark for better jobs and everything. The cultural kind of crash that is happening right now amongst Muslims in say, France or places in Northern Europe is very alien. It's very new to Europe. I mean, this is something we've dealt with in this country for many, many years. We still have a long way to go. We still have a lot of growing pains. This is a very, very new thing. This is why you have Nicolas Sarkozy, waging war against the Roma in France. This is why Angela Merkel the other day says that multiculturalism has failed in Germany.
But how do you make multiculturalism work in Europe? I mean, could you also say that this is the result of a failed states that don't know how to integrate these populations in a positive way?
Well, that's it. I mean, that's 100% it. And what Angela Merkel was saying was not that multiculturalism has failed in the sense that we shouldn't have two cultures next to each other. She's talking about the ideology of multiculturalism, which meant that, we will, allow these people to have their own culture. We won't force them into speaking German in this case. And that's made these sort of ghettos outside of the cities in Berlin and Kreuzberg and in France, the ring around the city, which is a, lower class immigrant ghettos. And who's to blame for that? Well, there's a lot of blame to go around. And the government has kind of ghettoized them. And so the response to that from the voters is saying that, look, these are very violent places out there. And the solution to this is to get rid of them. We're not to have any more of them.
But
so,
do you think, it's easy to say, the solution is to get rid of them. It's much harder to actually apply that. So how far do you think that this could go? Because honestly, I mean, this is, a lot of this anger often comes out in times of economic turmoil.
Of course.
And if you do look back to the 20s, to the 30s, 30s. I mean, yeah. Do you think that it could go that far again?
No.
That we could see this, you know, new era of fascism sweeping Europe?
I don't. Look, we had the far-right party in Austria, the Freedom Party, won, I mean, this is alarming, won 20-odd percent of the vote in Vienna. Now, in Vienna, it used to be called Rote Wien, the Red Vienna. It was a social democratic stronghold. So we are seeing people in times of desperation going to parties that are further right. But there isn't a groundswell like there was in the 1920s, which was a bifurcated fight between communists, extreme on the left, and Nazis in Germany, extreme on the right. Nothing like that today.
Very quickly, just one last
sure.
question. Now, you said, you know, the reason that they differ from the Tea Party is because, well, Tea Party, I guess, you know, you could say are fiscally more conservative. But
sure.
in terms of this this hateful, xenophobic, Islamophobic rhetoric, are they parallels?
I don't know. I mean, the Tea Party, I've been to many Tea Party rallies here in Washington, and most of the issues that I've talked to people about are economic issues. And you see that as kind of a libertarian conservative uniting. I do see some talk about traditional cultural conservative things and traditional things like immigration. It's not as
But again,
motivated.
It's a fringe that's actually starting to grow a little bit. You know, I mean, now they're making ties between the English Defense League and the Tea Party and the Pamela Gellers. And, I mean,
yeah.
you know, it's those kind of people that
lunatics,
make
basically.
It scary.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes,
Michael, thank you so much
thank
for being
Thank you so
here.
Much for having me.